In 1998, I had a dream. In the dream, I was standing on what looked like a stage or an altar, and in front of me, there was a sea of people in front of me as far as I could see. And so, a little shaken by the dream, I went to the dream interpreter, Father Jim. And I asked him if he knew what this dream could mean. And he said, "No, I'm not sure what it means, but usually when we have dreams, they are about us." I walked away thinking, well, then this dream must be about me being here at Corpus. It was a fairly sizable congregation of about 3,000 parishioners. Only months later, when the diocese came down on us, Jim and Mary were fired. We were under occupation with the threat of losing our parish. And in the midst of all that turmoil, I had the dream again. And so as I stand here today, I realize that perhaps that dream was part of a greater vision that God had for me to become a priest and your pastor. God gave me a glimpse of what was to come, and I believe that that has been part of leading me to this moment in my life. Because vision is important. Whether we develop a vision for our families, our communities, or our world. Proverbs 29 says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." So in the gospel today, Jesus gives his disciples a vision in contrast to the examples of leaders and rulers around them. He knows what influences are and shape us based on what we're exposed to. And he knows that those things that we're exposed to have the potential to shape us in life. And so Jesus points out to the disciples what they have been exposed to. He says, "Do you see how the Gentiles and leaders rule their people? They lord over them, making their power and authority felt to impress upon the people their greatness and their importance." He says to them, pay attention to the power relationship there. And then he gives them a very different vision to follow. He says, "But for you, it shall not be that way. That is not the model of vision of greatness that I am sending you out to imitate and bring to the world. Rather," Jesus says to them, "whoever wishes to be great among you must first be the servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you will be the servant of all. For the Son of Humanity did not come," Jesus said, "to be served, but to serve." So Jesus makes a very clear distinction of the kind of leadership he's calling for them to follow. And that is servant leadership. The ability to serve others at their level of need without thinking about, well, what's in it for me? Many of us can point to pivotal moments, I bet, in our own lives that shape the idea of servant leadership. I remember two particular events in my life that did that for me, alongside of growing up in a house where my parents were always serving others and attending to the needs of people in our community. The first was the death of my father when I was 15 years old. My father died from hypothermia. On a cold, blizzardy night, he made his way up on a porch of a family he knew, and he thought that he would get some help there as the temperature started to drop. But they didn't recognize him and decided to ignore his cry for help, leave him on a cold porch, thinking that he was just another drunk man who needed to sleep it off. How did that event shape me? Somewhere in my subconscious, his death taught me that it was always important to hear the cries of those in need, to assume nothing through my own lens, and to do all that I could to be a good servant, because I never know when somebody's life may be hanging in the balance on the other side of what separates me from them. The second event that happened in my life was when I was 18 years old, and I was working for the Gift Center, which was an outreach in my neighborhood ran by the Presbyterian Church. And one day, Reverend Michael and Reverend Jimmy came in with a guest. It was Rosa Parks. Miss Rosa spent the afternoon with us, with me and my youth group and the neighborhood kids and the families there. She spoke to us about her decision to not give up her seat, how important that moment was for her, to be called to serve a nation in that way. To offer resistance, as she did, to oppressive forces, even when it came at a great personal cost to herself. It was the vision of a better America that had her anchored to her seat, she told us. And while I can't remember everything that she said to us back then, because I was 18, I walked away shaped by her influence and her example of modeling justice and love in her service to others. And so if you ever come into my office, I often keep a carbon copy of pictures just as a reminder of that time with Rosa Parks. This is the kind of servant leadership that Jesus is calling for and modeling in the gospel that he does so well for us and for his disciples. When he heard the cry of women and lepers and children and widows and mothers and fathers and sisters whose loved ones had died, when he heard the cry of those who were tormented by demons, those lost and in need of being found in God's love and having a better world to look forward to. So Jesus took the time to give them what they needed. And here in this gospel, he passes on this kind of a vision to his disciples, this vision of service and servant leadership to them and to us today that is needed more than ever in the world that we live in. Amen? Because we often live in a world that's gripped by fear and anxiety and uncertainty. So Jesus knew that his disciples would need a new vision if they were going to step into the next phase of their lives as leaders. And so as I take on this new responsibility as your pastor, I too have been thinking about the importance of vision. So what vision will I carry for Spiritus Christi as a servant leader? My big picture vision has about six areas of focus. The first is to really continue with what has come before me. Reverend Mary has done an amazing job in this community for 20 years. She has nurtured us, she has taught us, she has modeled for us. And she leaves big shoes to fill. I'm looking forward to maintaining what we have, which is an amazing parish, a church of inreaches and outreaches and volunteers who model Jesus's servant leadership so well, while growing us in areas that I think continue to call us. And one of those areas is increasing parish growth and attendance, to be intentional about reaching out to those that we haven't seen in a while, to create more fun opportunities for us to be together, offerings in adult spirituality and diversity. A few weeks ago, I was standing at the door, and three different parishioners came to me at three different times on the way out. And they each said to me, "Our church is too white. We need more diversity." Well, I heard you, and that is one of the areas that I will be focusing on. And I invite you to join me. I'm talking with Black pastors and leaders about the possibility of coming together for a fifth Sunday worship opportunity, about becoming sister churches to each other. I figured if heaven is going to be a place with multiculturalism and diversity, we may as well start right down here. But in order to meet our diversity goals, it will take all of us working together. I plan to meet with the affinity groups of members of color in this community and white members. I want to listen to you about what we can do to draw out more diversity. I'll be inviting you into a partnership with me to build that diversity. I need you to join me in inviting people of color to Mass. Last week, I posted on Facebook an invitation to join us. And a friend of my son's saw it on Facebook. He's an African-American male. And I looked up on that Sunday, and he brought 7 of his family members to Mass. I thought, we have to let people of color know that we want them here and that we're willing to stretch and accommodate what they need from us. Another area of my vision is to increase membership involvement of more young adults, families with young children, and people of color at liturgies and events. I have added additional hours to Mark Potter's job as senior youth high minister. He will be developing intentional programs and opportunities for young adults in their 20s and 30s and to increase their participation in our masses. I heard from a 25-year-old parishioner recently who said to me, after I graduated youth group, I felt lost. All of my friends went off to college, and I struggled on how to fit in anymore. Well, we're going to do something about that. Mark Potter, in fact, sent out an invitation over the summer for young people to come together, and almost 30 people responded and came together for a gathering. We will be doing more of that, lots more reaching out and creating intentional space and opportunities for them in the life of our parish. I've also asked Savon Potter, our new religious ed director, to bring new intentional focus on baptism families, to explore with our families what additional role can the church play to assist you in your parenting support, to find out what else you need from us, how we might walk with you better, and your babies. So if you have a small child, we want to know how we can support you and your child so that you can have the best experience of worship within our community. We have had a special focus also on adult ed. Reverend Mary and Mike Boucher will be working together on planning and providing more adult ed offerings for you in the form of retreats and Bible studies and gatherings to nurture and continue to support your spirituality. I have a vision to increase our social media presence and improve our website. I hired, in fact, Davis Craig to assist me part-time in the office. Davis is focusing on rebuilding our website, engaging our social media platforms, and editing our liturgies. And he is doing an amazing job. He's already doubled and tripled our responses and our likes on Facebook. He's also involved in our anti-racism work and assisting me with various duties in the office. The fourth part of the vision is to maintain the growth and support of our current ministries and programs while increasing our social justice footprint in the community. You know, since our race convoy trip that spurred a renewed commitment to racial justice, the team continues to grow and has grown to over 20 members, both inside and outside of our community. The work of proposing the creation of a civil rights park and adopting a segment of the Black community in 14605 is a step along that way. Even this week, we just secured $25,000 from one of our city partners. We've organized a kickoff celebration for the Civil Rights Park that brought a community together. And we have been invited to a meeting in the next couple of weeks with the Rochester City School District to talk about a partnership to make this Civil Rights Park a reality. We have canvassed neighborhoods, we've talked to business owners, residents, and we've brought the message and the presence of Spiritus Christi to 14605 in a deeper way, and we're looking forward to building on those relationships. The sixth point of the vision is to centerpiece the lens of our parish's work on racism in a more systemically intentional, integrated way as we deepen our analysis and our understanding of racism and our commitment, our ongoing commitment to organizational equity. Now, we won't get to this vision tomorrow, but neither did the disciples. When you lay out a vision for servant leadership, it takes a whole community moving forward, being deliberate. Jesus gave everything he had for his vision. for the world and for us. And I'm looking forward to giving all that I have in walking with you in this vision as well. And I think the scriptures captured it best when they said, "Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts the depths of gratitude that I feel for the opportunity to lead with you."
My name is Kristen French. I'm part of the Visioning Board.
And I'm Tanya Johnson, part of the Vision Board.
And today, we are extremely excited to install Reverend Mary Myra... Sorry, you're done. Reverend Myra Brown as head pastor of our church. Now, I'd like to take a minute to present Ched Meyer's words regarding Myra's installation. Ched Meyers is an American theologian specializing in biblical studies and political theology, and he is an active member of our church's visioning board. Here's his words. 3.5 years ago, Myra took the mic at our Barbados Institute Festival of Radical Disciplineship here in California, accompanied by a friend and jazz pianist, Warren Cooper, to sing a song that she had just written. She strode across the stage fiercely singing, "Let the walls of injustice come down, 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 in a moment we won't forget." Today, in her own house, more walls have come down with Myra's installation. We are grateful for the decades of faithful witness by your community in Rochester, for the diligence of the Visioning Board in midwifing this long-planned leadership transition, and for the patience and fortitude of Reverend Brown in living in her vocation in the congregation she has loved and served for a quarter century. We wish Myra and all of you the very best in this new season as you continue together to bring down the walls and raise up gospel justice. Now, Tanya and I have some questions for Myra. Myra, will you continue to ensure that Spiritus Christi is an inclusive, mission-driven Catholic Church on which it rests on its pillars of inclusivity and mission to the poor?
I will.
Myra, will you continue to support the intentional work of Spiritus Christi's missionaries and in their missions to create a safe, fun, and spiritual environment for the youth in our faith community?
I will.
Eliminate racism in all its forms, both in the church and society.
I will.
Would you increase awareness of the interrelationshipness of life by fully inspiring us to protect the nature world through stewardship, education, and action?
I will.
Would you include dynamic liturgies that instantly connect with the uplifting energy created by our musicians?
I will.
Myra, will you continue to support Spiritus Christi's additional ministries and outreaches, including the Caring Connection, Speaking from the Heart, our Buddy Readers, Grace of God Recovery House, Prison Ministry, the Mental Health Center, Chiapas, and the Haiti Missions?
I will.
Myra, will you continue to help support parishioners in the celebration of the sacraments of baptism, First Eucharist, First Reconciliation, Confirmation, marriage by welcoming these beautiful children and couples into our church community?
I will.
Myra, will you continue to embrace Jesus' message of life, death, and resurrection by visiting the sick and offering the sacrament of last rites to those who are nearing death?
I will.
Myra, will you continue?
Oh, no.
Myra, will you continue to include and encourage members of the LGBTQ community to worship in our church, by wed in our church, and live their entire spiritual lives in our church?
I will.
Finally, Myra, will you continue to embrace Jesus Christ as our senior pastor? Hold the Eucharist as the center of our sacramental life, embrace the challenges of the Scriptures, and share the beauty of our congregation as ordinary people, joyfully celebrating the opportunity to follow Jesus's radical message of unconditional love.
I will.
Now we ask our congregation some questions about supporting Reverend Myra Brown. So please consider them. And then answer with the response, yes, we will. Will you support Reverend Myra as she leads Spiritus Christi in this new chapter of our history as a faith community with your time, talent, and wisdom? Yes, we will. Well done. Will you partner with Reverend Myra as our new pastor as she leads our community with a focus on our mission and vision of inclusive racial justice and outreach to the poor and marginalized within the church and larger community, following the teachings and example of Jesus? Yes, we will. Will you accept the charge to be bold together, abundant in your compassion, willing to take risks that will challenge and transform our world as we bear witness to God's love and justice for all?
Yes, we will.
Now, will our Spiritus staff members please come up, and Reverend Mary will lead us in giving Reverend Myra a blessing. Put your hands on Myra.
Please help me give Myra a blessing by extending your hand towards her. Myra, may God's love surround you and lift you up and give you the strength you need to lead the parish. May Jesus walk beside you and set for you an example of how to welcome and treat the people that come into your path. And may the Holy Spirit give you the wisdom that you need to guide us. And may our love surround you and give you the strength and support as you proceed as the pastor of Spiritus Christi. In the name of our loving God, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's hear it for Myra. Amen.